I know for a fact that this has been kind of like an overwhelming type of teaching, but it is the basis of where we spring from here. Those who do not want to enjoy the benefits of the kingdom have already made that decision for themselves. And before we turn to Matthew 16, verses 18 through 19, I want to exhort you that your lack is predicated on these keys today that I'm going to present to you. Where you are is determined by what you want out of life. Not by your environment. Not because someone else is pulling on your shirt tails to keep you from it. It is your decision, and God wants to pour out on you. Amen? Today's message is using the right keys. Matthew 16, 18 through 19 says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And we know further that through this accommodation that Jesus gave to Peter, because Peter asked him who did he think he was, which is next week's final message. I pray that you get the revelation of Jesus Christ, not this quasi-religion, not this superficiality of a walk. I pray that you get a revelation of who God is and all that He has for you and for His church. Because without it, you will stay where you are for the rest of your life. That's the facts. And we have this warfare going on within us. And what we do in this warfare is we blame shift. We tell everybody it's their fault and not ours. But the truth of it is, it's all our fault. It's not God's fault, and it's not someone else's. My prayer is that you realize that Jesus Christ is God incarnate. God came down and had a fleshly body. Everything that you experience in this life, He has already experienced. Everything. Rejection, He's experienced that. Loneliness, He's experienced that. Misunderstood, He's experienced that. But the one difference between you and me and Him is that He trusted totally in the will of God. Amen? And that's the difference between a real Christian and I call a pretending Christian. Because we know who the ants are. They're the ones that just come, listen, and are not changed. The pretenders are the ones who walk a little bit and then they're seduced by the spirits of materialism and greed and are slowly taken off. Then we know that there's the ones that are taken up by the pressures of life. And they last a little bit. But in the end, they reach their own self-destruction. The Christians that God is making in this day, hear me, He is making in this day are people who are consecrated and sold out for Him. Because they're the ones that are going to be caught up. They're the ones that are going to be taken. And they're the ones that's going to have their rewards given to them in front of the masses of saints at the great judgment. And you have to understand how great Jesus is. And what we do is because we are seduced by these spirits, because let's face it, all of us like to have a new car, all of us like to have a bigger and better job, all of us like to have the latest, greatest HD TV, all of us would like to have all that stuff, right? And God wants you to have it on His terms. On His terms. And His terms are, you must have these keys in your hands to access these things, because what He has for you will give you these things without the pressures of attainment. Amen? So what does this look like? What does our Christian life look like? First of all, we must settle once and for all that we are part of the world's greatest building project that ever was. Jesus said, I am going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So we are part of a worldwide, centuries-long building project brought to this end time that you and I are part of. Now, some of you may not want to be a part of that, and that's your choice. I can't answer for you. I can only enlighten you as to the truth of what is coming and what God expects. As I look around, I see priorities out of whack with God's kingdom. I see people who are not happy. I see people who don't even praise God. I see people just sitting being distracted in our little fellowship. And I question the Lord as to why. Why is this that God's people who are called by His name, who are encouraged to do great and wondrous things, aren't the happiest people in the world, aren't filled with the power from the kingdom? And I strongly suggest that our priorities are being seduced by materialism and greed. Every sin that's common to man is for the attainment of something at the expense of someone else. Think about that. What is it that you're looking for that Christ cannot provide for you? And these are the keys. We allow these spirits to corrupt our spirits. We allow these spirits to direct our paths. And we deny the Christ who has died for us His right in our lives. And because our priorities are out of whack, and because we don't understand the kingdom, Jesus is not on His throne. Jesus is not on His throne. And that throne is contained within your spirit and my spirit. And as I said to the leaders, and as we were talking about this Wednesday night in Roots a little bit, this is an ongoing process, but we are not to give up. That is not what we are created for. We do not surrender. Anybody see the movie, The 300? Remember what the king said to his people? We don't surrender. We don't retreat. We die unto glory. That's what the Christian's life is all about. We have a tenacity in us that we have not even tapped into yet. Because we're still seduced with the playthings, the toys of the world, instead of seeing that everything that's provided for us is for the extension of His kingdom. He's going to destroy this world. He is. And everything that you have and everything I have is going to go. It is. How many of you are disturbed about the financial problems that are going on? God's in control. I have tons of money that is invested there. And if God should will that the financial places go belly up, I still trust God. I am not afraid of what's going to happen. Because He told us that these things were coming. These are just birthing pains of what's going to happen. And that is total collapse of this world system before the Antichrist comes. Is His church ready? I dare say not. What's the first key? There are three keys. And I've touched on them, all of them. I have touched on all of them. And the first is our position. The key for us to access the things of the kingdom is to be in right position. Some of us have moved away from that position because we're tired. I'm tired too. I went to bed at 8:30. I slept till 20 after 7 this morning. I'm tired. I'm not giving up. Some of us are thinking that it's greener on the other side of that fence than to really see that Jesus Christ is in control of everything and He wants to do something once we're in position. Because each and every one of us, just like the scriptures say, we are stones, living stones, put into the building of Jesus Christ. We are built upon the chief cornerstone of Christ Jesus, upon the apostles and prophets. And every stone has its place. And every stone that is not put in the wall properly is out of place. I don't care if it's in the wall or not. If it's not where God places it, you're in the wrong spot. That's the truth. That's what the Word of God says. So the first key is you must determine if you're going to live a consecrated life for Jesus Christ or not. That means I must get in position with Jesus Christ. Only a consecrated life is the beginning of giving you access to the things of the kingdom. Only that. You can say you love God. You can do all the religious stuff. You can do whatever you want. If you are not living a life consecrated, and that consecration is living in the will of God, trusting God for everything, then we are outside of His will. Everything. It's that simple. How many of us were baptized? Water baptized. Do you not realize that that is the beginning of living a consecrated life? That is the beginning. Because out of your own mouths, you said, I no longer live for myself, I live for Him who died for me. Didn't you? How many of us are living what we have said? I'm not judging. All of us, including myself, have difficulties. But we should not give up. We should not be seduced by the things of the world. We should repent and get back into position as quickly as possible. My sister-in-law, I asked my sister-in-law one time. I mean, I was a dog heathen. I was nasty. I was everything to her. And I asked her why she still put up with me. And she just said, you were fast to ask for forgiveness. You see, I didn't want to carry the baggage. I had done some stuff that I'm not very proud of to people. I've done stuff to my family that I'm not very proud of. And when Jesus Christ saved me, immediately He put me in position to make me successful. You're not going to be successful out here. Your success lies totally in your obedience to Jesus Christ. You have not because you ask not or you ask amiss. Maybe because you're outside of His will that He's not giving you the things that you need or want. Have you ever thought about that? You see, He has every right to withhold from you, and He doesn't. He doesn't. He loves us so much that He will allow the crumbs of the table to feed His children, but He wants us in position so that we can eat at His table. And we are satisfied with the crumbs. Well, I'm a Christian. I go to church every Sunday. I go to Bible study whenever. And, you know, I do this, I do that. That's religion. That's religion. You're not going to attain the fullness of God if you are not totally consecrated to Him. If your heart is divided, you are not going to receive the fullness of what He wants to give to you. And the fullness is not out there. The fullness is contained in being in right position to receive what He has for us. Amen? Positioning is the key. And we just think that we can just run around and we can act the whatever way we want to and God is going to bless us. Well, I'm sorry to hear to tell you that that's not going to be the case here. We forget that once we're in position, God has given us something to be in position. And that is what? Power and authority. You can't wield the power and authority of the kingdom outside of His will. Remember the seven sons of Sceva? Where they tried to cast out the demon? And the demon whooped on their behind. Chased them out, ripped off their clothes, and threw them out naked. What makes you think that you could pick up your stuff, move into another territory, and set up house outside His will? You are setting yourself up for destruction. Your house is being built upon the sand, not upon the rock of Jesus Christ. And He is strongly suggesting to us to get in position. Only then do you have power and authority. Remember about the scepter? Power and authority. Only then, when you're in position, do you have the right. What is power? The right to wage war. What is authority? The right to use it. And He has given that to His church to wage war and the right to use it. Why are we praying these little kids' prayers? Oh, God, you know, Aunt Susie doesn't have this and she's not. You know, you take power and authority. You speak life, not death. You don't go to God beggarly. My Bible tells me I go to the throne room boldly in my time of need for grace and mercy. I don't go to God begging. I actually go there demanding of God. Where do you go? How do you go? Are you in position? The next key is to have our mindset changed. We are citizens of a heavenly kingdom, and because the King loves us so much, there's nothing He won't do for us. Nothing that He won't do. He promises to supply our needs. And He promises not only to supply our needs, but He promises to supply them abundantly. Then why are we ensnared in the hardships and affairs of this life? Why are we so concerned about all the junk that's going on? Oh, well, you know, my football team, my fantasy football team is doing great. Don't you realize that's not the purpose why you're involved with that? The purpose is to win souls. We have forgotten what our purpose is. Oh, but you don't understand, Pastor. This is all that, I don't care. Take it up with Him. Yeah, you can have fun doing it, but are you winning souls? Well, no, I'm having fun. then you're out of the will of God. It's that simple. Where are you lacking? Are you in position? Are you using authority? If you're not, then you're lacking, and that's not God's best for us. It's that simple. Are we living a consecrated life? Are we having our minds renewed, or are we just satisfied? I'm not satisfied. I've been walking with Him for 24 years, and I'm still not satisfied where I'm at. Are you? I'm not satisfied that every once in a while something gets my attention and I go over here and then I have to repent to get back into position. And we're losing ground, church. No retreat. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We're in full retreat. Whether you realize it or not, you have sold your soul for a bundle of garbage. And you're listening to people who are not spiritual, who are dragging you right down with it. You're on the Titanic, and there are no lifeboats. That's where you are spiritually. I'm telling you the truth. Our job is not to beg or try to coddle God or try to get Him to do something for us. Our job is to be in obedience to Him, do what it is that He tells us to do, and when we have need, He brings that need to us. It's why it's called provision. He already sees our needs. He makes it accessible to us. But if we are not in position, if we are not wielding power and authority, if we do not have our minds renewed, renewed is understanding what is provided for me. Not that I'm going to heaven and everything is hunky-dory. What does the King promise to provide for us? He promises to provide for our physical needs, like food, water, clothing, drinking. Our social needs. He promises to lead us to those contacts of people that He wants us to meet, not the ones we think we should meet. He wants us in relationships that He wants to bless, not the relationships that we think are good for us. He wants to provide for the emotional needs. And that emotional needs means that He keeps our minds steady and calm and peaceful. Are we there? Are we steady, calm, and peaceful? If not, we're out of position. He wants to provide for our psychological needs, keeping our mental stability. Are we confused? Are we just running around with our emotions hanging out there like dirty laundry? Are we just snap happy about everything? Or are we living a life that is so in focus with God that it doesn't matter what's going on outside? What matters is what's going on the inside of me. He promises to meet our financial needs because Deuteronomy 8:18 says He has given us the power to create wealth. He has given us power to create wealth. Why are we asking God to do something for us that He has already given to us? Oh, no. He tells us He wants to bless us. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 13. He tells us that He wants to prosper us. 2 Peter 1, 3. And we're outside, we're not inside. We think prosperity is stuff. When we stop chasing stuff, we start chasing Him and getting in a position, we will have all that stuff. That's the truth. We heard about being a generous spirit because that's who our Father is. And we're so tight-waddish in our lives, it's unbelievable. We think everybody exists for our consumption. We must have our minds renewed. That is what Romans 12, 1 and 2 is all about. We must live a consecrated life, totally sold out for God. We must have our minds renewed. We must know what the kingdom is about, who our king is, what he says, how to go about doing it, And that only stays when we're in position. He's on the throne. I am no longer on the throne. And that's going to take a lifetime for us just to walk this stuff out, let alone begin to access what heaven has for us to further His kingdom and to spread His good news. And the final key is our disposition. Who could tell me what disposition is? It's a legal term. What's disposition? Mm-hmm. What's the final result, right? That's right. Or it's the final mindset of something. You legally can access anything in heaven because you have the mindset and you are in a position and maintain the disposition that it's kingdom first and only. And that's a hard thing to do. That's a hard thing to live because, you know what? We have been ingrained with religion to tell us the opposite. The truth of the matter is we must be in position. Key number one. Key number two, we must know what the King provides for us and we must know what our needs are. The only way that's going to happen is how? Getting into His Word. How many of us are in His Word continuously? Maddie is. Okay, praise God. Do you believe God wants to bless you? He does. Then why are we putting roadblocks up in front of Him and not doing what it is to be a conduit of His life and all the things from heaven? Remember I said we must learn to plug in to the spiritual because we are spiritual people. When we learn how to appropriate spiritual things and manifest them into reality, God said, I speak those things that are not as though they were. That's faith. That's another definition of faith. That's all it is. And He says, you know what, church? You line up with me. You consecrate your life. You get your mind set right. Not on this garbage that's out here. Not filling your life up with the garbage and not wasting your time with garbage, because you see, the time is His. He has redeemed your life so you can redeem your time to be sold out for Him, to win souls, to further the kingdom. Oh, but you know what? They're going to make fun of me. They're going to call me Jesus freak. They're going to look at me strange. I'm afraid to open my mouth up on this. Well, you know what? Tough. Take it up with Him. You responded. You said, yeah, Lord. And there was no conditions on your yay, Lord, except save me, God. And now all of a sudden we got all these conditions. I just want to go to heaven, God. I just want to do this. I just want to do that. No. If you got conditions, if you got issues, you need to deal with them today. Get rid of them so you can have all the abundance that He wants for you. Amen? You can practice being a Christian all you want, but eventually your practice is going to fall to the wayside and you're going to backslide like nobody's business. But when you have a disposition, a mindset of kingdom, you are a kingdom person. You can't practice kingdom. You either are or you aren't. You're either a citizen of heaven or you're not. That's what it comes down to. People, I can't tell you how many people I've listened to over the years, and they say, hey, how was church today? Oh, it was great. What did the pastor preach on? I don't know, but it was good. What do you mean you don't know? I don't know what was going on, but man, it was good. You know, they had these karate guys out there, they're breaking all this stuff out. You know what? We're not there to entertain you. My job is to bishop your soul, to get you out of your immature estate, bring you into a maturity so that you can be an asset in the hands of God. You are a weapon waiting to be unleashed upon this world. Oh, I don't think so. How sad. How sad we settle for what the world wants to give us, not what God has already appropriated for us. Your heart reveals your life by your way you live. And unfortunately, it reveals our allegiances too. It does. Our allegiance is to the world. I don't care what you say. I just look at your life. And I judge by your life. And so does God. But you know what? I don't give up because God doesn't give up. God will do whatever He needs to do to bring you to total ruination to get you in position once again. Be not mocked. God's not deceived. What you sow, you will reap. And you're not going to like the crop that's coming for you. Everything that you have done in your life is coming due. And the only way that the effects of your life is to be minimized is to repent, get it under the blood, and get in position as quickly as you possibly can. Because the longer you stay outside, the worse it's going to be. Even to the place that you will be swept up, swept away, and your eternal salvation is in jeopardy. As you know, I don't believe in eternal security. I don't believe once saved, always saved. I believe you're as saved as your relationship to Jesus Christ. And if your relationship to your girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife, and all takes precedent before God's relationship with you, you're not worthy of His kingdom. They are not my words, they are His words. I'm going to be like Joshua, talking to Israel. You choose this day whom you're going to serve. You choose. Of course, many of you have already made your choice. But as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. I know that He's making me a success. I know that His plans and thoughts towards me are good. I know that there's nothing stopping me and nothing will stop me from attaining the glory that He has presided for me and attaining the destiny for myself personally and this church. Nothing's stopping me. Not even the church's insolence and disobedience is going to stop me. I'm going on. I'm not frustrated anymore. I've taken it to the Lord and I said, it's your people. You deal with them. I'm moving on. I'm not going to die in the desert. I'm taking the land. You choose whom you're going to serve. And if it's God, then I ask you to come up here with me. If it's not, sit there. I'm not judging you. That's where you are. That's fine. But as for me and my house, come up here. I'm going to pray a blessing on you guys.